Chapter 3. It is a beginning, and, above all, an abiding place, away from the shadow of the cloud which hangs over us. Here I will go, apostrophe said Owen. Cytherea's plan for her future, an intensely simple one, owing to the even greater narrowness of her resources, was already marked out. One advantage had accrued to her through her mother's possession of a fair share of personal property, and perhaps only one. As he had been carefully educated. Upon this consideration her plan was based. She was to take up her abode in her brother's lodging at Budmouth, when she would immediately advertise for a situation as governess, having obtained the consent of a lawyer at Aldbrickham who was winding up her father's affairs, and who knew the history of her position, to allow himself to be referred to in the matter of her past life and respectability. Early one morning they departed from their native town, leaving behind them scarcely a trace of their footsteps. Then the town pitied their want of wisdom in taking such a step. Rashness, they would have made a better income in Hockbridge, where they are known. There is no doubt that they would. Apostrophe, but what is wisdom really? A steady handling of any means, to bring about any end necessary to happiness. Yet whether one's end be the usual end, a wealthy position in life or no, the name of wisdom is seldom applied, but to the means to that usual end. 2. The events of a fortnight. 1. The ninth of July, the day of their departure, was one of the most glowing that the climax of a long series of summer heats could evolve. The wide expanse of landscape quivered up and down like the flame of a taper, as they steamed along through the midst of it. Placid flocks of sheep reclining under trees a little way off appeared of a pale blue color. Clover fields were livid with the brightness of the sun upon their deep red flowers. All wagons and carts were moved to the shade by their careful owners. Rainwater butts fell to pieces. Well buckets were lowered inside the covers of the well hole, to preserve them from the fate of the butts, and generally, water seemed scarcer in the country than the beer and cider of the peasantry who toiled or idled there. To see persons looking with children's eyes at any ordinary scenery, is a proof that they possess the charming faculty of drawing new sensations from an old experience, a healthy sign, rare in these feverish days, the mark of an imperishable brightness of nature. Both brother and sister could do this. Cytherea more noticeably. They watched the undulating corn lands, monotonous to all their companions, the stony and clayey prospect succeeding those, with its angular and abrupt hills. Boggy moors came next, now withered and dry, the spots upon which pools usually spread their waters showing themselves as circles of smooth bare soil, overrun by a network of innumerable little fissures. Then arose plantations of firs, abruptly terminating beside meadows cleanly mown, in which high-hipped, rich-colored cows, with backs horizontal and straight as the ridge of a house, stood motionless or lazily fed. Glimpses of the sea now interested them, which became more and more frequent till the train finally drew up beside the platform at Budmouth. The whole town is looking out for us, apostrophe had been Gray's impression throughout the day. He called upon Mr. Gratfield, the only man who had been directly informed of his coming, and found that Mr. Gratfield had forgotten it. However, arrangements were made with this gentleman, a stout, active, gray-bearded burgher of 60, by which Owen was to commence work in his office the following week. The same day Cytherea drew up, and sent off the advertisement appended. A young lady is desirous of meeting with an engagement as governess or companion. She is competent to teach English, French, and music. Satisfactory references address, CG, Post Office, Budmouth. It seemed a more material existence than her own that she saw thus delineated on the paper. That can't be myself. How odd I look. Apostrophe she said, and smiled. 2. July the 11th, on the Monday subsequent to their arrival in Budmouth, Owen Gray attended at Mr. Gratfield's office, to enter upon his duties, and his sister was left in their lodgings alone for the first time. Despite the sad occurrences of the preceding autumn, an unwonted cheerfulness pervaded her spirit throughout the day. Change of scene and that to untraveled eyes conjoined with the sensation of freedom from supervision, revived the sparkle of a warm young nature ready enough to take advantage of any adventitious restoratives. Point blank grief tends rather to seal up happiness for a time than to produce that attrition which results from griefs of anticipation that move onward with the days. These may be said to furrow away the capacity for pleasure. Her expectations from the advertisement began to be extravagant. A thriving family, who had always sadly needed her, was already definitely pictured in her fancy, which, in its exuberance, led her on to picturing its individual members, their possible peculiarities, virtues, and vices, and obliterated for a time the recollection that she would be separated from her brother. Thus musing, as she waited for his return in the evening, her eyes fell on her left hand. The contemplation of her own left fourth finger by simple loving girlhood of this age is, it seems, very frequently, if not always, followed by a peculiar train of romantic ideas. Cytherea's thoughts, still playing about her future, became directed into this romantic groove. She leant back in her chair, and taking hold of the fourth finger, which had attracted her attention, she lifted it with the tips of the others, and looked at the smooth and tapering member for a long time. She whispered idly, "I wonder who and what he will be? If he's a gentleman of fashion, he will take my finger so, just with the tips of his own, and with some fluttering of the heart, and the least trembling of his lip, slip the ring so lightly on, that I shall hardly know it is there looking delightfully into my eyes all the time. If he's a bold, dashing soldier, I expect he will proudly turn round, take the ring, as if it equaled Her Majesty's crown in value, and desperately set it on my finger thus. He will fix his eyes unflinchingly upon what he is doing, just as if he stood in battle before the enemy, though, in reality, very fond of me, of course, and blush as much as I shall. If he's a sailor, he will take my finger and the ring in this way, and deck it out with a housewifely touch, and a tenderness of expression about his mouth, as sailors do. Kiss it, perhaps, with a simple air, as if we were children playing an idle game, and not at the very height of observation and envy by a great crowd saying, ah, they are happy now. If he should be rather a poor man, noble-minded and affectionate, but still poor apostrophe, Owen's footsteps rapidly ascending the stairs, interrupted this fancy-free meditation. Reproaching herself, even angry with herself for allowing her mind to stray upon such subjects in the face of their present desperate condition, she rose to meet him and make tea. Cytherea's interest to know how her brother had been received at Mr. Gradfield's broke forth in two words at once. Almost before they had sat down to table, she began cross-examining him in the regular sisterly way. Well, Owen, how has it been with you today? What is the place like? Do you think you will like Mr. Gradfield? ... Oh yes. But he has not been there today. I have only had the head draftsman with me. ... Young women have a habit, not noticeable in men, of putting on at a moment's notice the drama of whosoever's life they choose. Cytherea's interest was transferred from Mr. Gradfield to his representative. What sort of a man is he? ... He seems a very nice fellow indeed, though of course I can hardly tell to a certainty as yet. But I think he's a very worthy fellow, there's no nonsense in him, and though he is not a public schoolman, he has read widely, and has a sharp appreciation of what's good in books and art. In fact, his knowledge isn't nearly so exclusive as most professional men's. ... That's a great deal to say of an architect, for of all professional men they are, as a rule, the most professional. ... Yes, perhaps they are. This man is rather of a melancholy turn of mind, I think. ... Has the managing clerk any family? apostrophe apostrophe she mildly asked, after a while, pouring out some more tea. Family, no. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, dear Owen, how should I know? Apostrophe apostrophe, why, of course he isn't married. But there happened to be a conversation about women going on in the office, and I heard him say what he should wish his wife to be like. Apostrophe apostrophe, what would he wish his wife to be like? Apostrophe apostrophe, she said, with great apparent lack of interest. Oh, he says she must be girlish and artless. Yet he would be loth to do without a dash of womanly subtlety, 'tis so piquant. Yes, he said, that must be in her. She must have womanly cleverness. And yet I should like her to blush, if only a cock sparrow were to look at her hard, he said, which brings me back to the girl again. And so I flit backwards and forwards. I must have what comes, I suppose, he said, and whatever she may be, thank God she's no worse. However, if he might give a final hint to Providence, he said, a child among pleasures, and a woman among pains, was the rough outline of his requirement. Apostrophe apostrophe, did he say that? What a musing creature he must be. Apostrophe, he did, indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe, 3. From the 12th to the 15th of July, as is well known, ideas are so elastic in a human brain, that they have no constant measure which may be called their actual bulk. Any important idea may be compressed to a molecule by an unwonted crowding of others, and any small idea will expand to whatever length and breadth of vacuum the mind may be able to make over to it. Cytherea's world was tolerably vacant at this time, and the young architectural designer's image became very pervasive. The next evening this subject was again renewed. His name is Springrove, apostrophe said Owen, in reply to her. He is a thorough artist, but a man of rather humble origin, it seems, who has made himself so far. I think he is the son of a farmer, or something of the kind. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, he's none the worse for that, I suppose. Apostrophe apostrophe, none the worse. As we come down the hill, we shall be continually meeting people going up. Apostrophe apostrophe, but Owen had felt that Springrove was a little the worse nevertheless. Of course he's rather old by this time. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh no. He's about 26, not more. Apostrophe, ah, I see. Dot dot dot, what is he like, Owen? Apostrophe, I can't exactly tell you his appearance. 'Tis always such a difficult thing to do. Apostrophe apostrophe, a man you would describe as short? Most men are those we should describe as short, I fancy. Apostrophe apostrophe, I should call him, I think, of the middle height, but as I only see him sitting in the office, of course I am not certain about his form and figure. Apostrophe apostrophe, I wish you were, then. Apostrophe apostrophe, perhaps you do. But I am not, you see. Apostrophe, of course not, you are always so provoking. Owen, I saw a man in the street today whom I fancied, was he, and yet, I don't see how it could be either. He had light brown hair, a snub nose, very round face, and a peculiar habit of reducing his eyes to straight lines, when he looked narrowly at anything. Apostrophe apostrophe, oh no. That was not he, Cytherea. Apostrophe, not a bit like him in all probability. Apostrophe apostrophe, not a bit. He has dark hair, almost a Grecian nose, regular teeth, and an intellectual face, as nearly as I can recall to mind. Apostrophe apostrophe, ah, there now, Owen, you have described him. But I suppose he's not generally called pleasing, or apostrophe, handsome. Apostrophe apostrophe, I scarcely meant that. But since you have said it, is he handsome? Apostrophe apostrophe, rather. Apostrophe apostrophe, his town ensemble is striking? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes oh no, no I forgot. It is not. He is rather untidy in his waistcoat, and neckties, and hair. Apostrophe apostrophe, how vexing, dot dot dot, it must be to himself, poor thing. apostrophe, he's a thorough bookworm, despises the pap, and Daisy School of Verse knows Shakespeare to the very dregs of the footnotes. Indeed, he's a poet himself in a small way. Apostrophe, apostrophe, how delicious. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said. I have never known a poet. Apostrophe, and you don't know him, apostrophe, said Owen dryly. She reddened. Of course I don't. I know that. Apostrophe, have you received any answer to your advertisement? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he inquired. Ah, no. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said, and the forgotten disappointment which had showed itself in her face at different times during the day became visible again. Another day passed away. On Thursday, without inquiry, she learned more of the head draftsman. He and Gray had become very Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.